You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Everyone, and welcome back to the latest edition of the Over Nerds podcast. I'm here, I'm Brock, and I'm joined by the lovely Meridon for a wonderful episode today. Meridon, how are you today?
I'm all right. My team joins the uprising in the darkness
in the postseason game. Off season rather.
Yeah, but I'm okay.
Well, you know, we do have meetings every so often. Yeah. Us, me, the Justice, the Mayhem. We all kind of talk about it. And, you know, I think we're okay. We're going to move on to the next season.
It's kind of like a round table, like an AA kind of thing.
Just, hi, my name's the Toronto Defiant, and
I have a problem. We're terrible.
We went 0-7. Yeah, so we have a great show today. We got some pretty breaking news, actually, on the uprising end. A brand new coach was announced not even half an hour ago.
Yeah.
So this puts a little timestamp on when we're recording.
Yeah.
But that's very exciting. We got the playoff games. We have the rest of the play-ins. Mm-hmm. I guess this is technically the playoffs now, once the play-ins had ended.
Yeah.
We are now back to the winner's bracket. We'll discuss that. We'll talk about the potential matchups that are going to come up, because the weird thing about the brackets is you don't know who's going to get to Saturday unless you're watching the games.
Yeah.
So we'll discuss who we think is going to make it, get there, and then we'll talk about who's going to try to get through the loser's bracket. Then after that, we'll talk about the new uprising coach. We'll move to overthoughts. A couple of new quick play stuff is announced. And then and then we kind of wrap things up. It seems like a short agenda, but there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, this is the first time either ever or in a long time that my notes are actually one page long. Like, our agenda, I should say. I basically, like, have a little... Here's some behind-the-scenes insider stuff. I have, like, a little, like, agenda that we print out just to kind of reference as we're going through the podcast, and typically it's like 2 pages long, 3 pages long, but like the play-ins, I take little snapshots of the schedules and stuff on the website, so I don't really have to like worry about typing everything out. And since the play-ins were only like 4 matchups this week, it's like so tiny it like doesn't take up anything. So yeah, this may be the first time ever that we have one page agenda, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be that short of a podcast.
No, we'll find a way to get to an hour. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
You'll get your commute in one sitting. It's
yes.
Fine.
Oh yeah, we got you.
Without further ado,
yeah,
let's get into it.
Last week, man. Play-ins. First off, one of the things that I gathered is that the crews they use, that like the officiating this week, or not the officiating, but the play-by-play, the shout casting this week was freaking phenomenal, especially Wolf, and I don't know why I always forget this guy's name,
Achilles,
but I just remember Wolf because he has a really unique name. But like the shout casting was super epic this week. It definitely got you into the games. I definitely enjoyed watching it. I thought the play-ins were a really good idea, in my opinion. It's kind of like a wild card thing. Sort of reminds me of the way that that Major League Baseball does it, where you have like these basically face-offs versus wild card teams, and it's just single game elimination. And
yeah,
the
wildest thing in baseball is having that single game elimination, and it's none of the games are ever boring too. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, they're always really good. And this week didn't really disappoint. There were 2 4-1s a 4-2, and then there's a 4-3. That was great. But even the matches that won 4-1, I thought were pretty interesting. Other than, in my opinion, this first game, the Guangzhou Charge played the Chengdu Hunters, and unfortunately, my Hunters fell to the Guangzhou Charge 4-1. And one other thing to note before we jump into this is Sigma was actually released in the Overwatch League. I think we did touch on that last week. He is used out the wazoo. If you caught it, you definitely know what I'm talking about. It's definitely Orisa Sigma time for like 90% of the maps. But I just wanted to throw that in there. But yeah, Guangzhou Charge 4-0, Eileen popping off on freaking Doomfist, man. His Doomfist is very, pretty scary.
Very terrifying. And that's kind of what you need from this double shield meta, where you need to have DPS that are able to not care about it, quite frankly, ignore shields. So yeah. People like Doomfist, people like Reaper, where they're going to get into the back line. We'll talk about a little bit later, but McCree is also very popular right now. Yeah. I think that's kind of a hedge against some people trying to play Pharah into double shields. But the primary being Doomfist, and it's such a strange sight to see. Because no one likes when Doomfist is good.
No.
I don't think anyone besides... Except for besides, Doomfist mains. Yeah, exactly. Except for Doomfist mains. People either on Ladder, on Twitter, like on Reddit, people are always clamoring for Doomfist nerfs and changes every single time we see a new meta like this. Yeah. Because it takes people a minute to realize that, all right, we have to somehow play around getting one shot by Doomfist.
Yeah.
And this kind of happened a lot with Dive meta and with Widow, because Widow has the same one-shot ability.
Yep.
And people were able to not get clicked head as much. You know, like they were able to play around walls or do different sight lines and this and the other thing, like dive into the Widow so she can't really hit you as well or something like that, a little more coordinated dive. So it'll take a minute for us to realize that like Doomfist isn't as strong, but for the time being, I love watching Doomfist. I love watching Doomfist pros like Eileen get there, like Jinmu. You know, I think it's super fun, especially since we're trying to fight through these giant 900, 1500 health shields.
It's definitely a lot more fun to watch than actually play.
Correct.
I hate Doomfist with such a fiery passion. Like, I was actually thinking today, I'm like, you know what I should do? There was a point in my Overwatch career where I really didn't like playing Ana. And one day when I was streaming on Twitch, I was like, you know what? I'm going to dedicate this entire stream to just practicing Ana. And she grew on me, and she's now one of my favorite supports to play. Kind of thinking about doing that with Doomfist. I know his skill ceiling's pretty high. And that's the thing about Doomfist, and I think that's why I don't think Blizzard really reacts very fast to messing with Doomfist. Doomfist is really hard to play. And especially for someone like me who's not a DPS player, like picking up Doomfist is like me throwing. Like I pick up Doomfist, I throw. And exactly. I'm not trying to throw, but he's just tough to play. And watching the way that that he handles with these pros, oh my gosh. Especially the next game we're gonna talk about. But yeah, Eileen just looked insane with Doomfist.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on mostly with the charge.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there wasn't a lot to talk about Chengdu.
Yeah, there really wasn't.
and it's not really their fault. I think the quick change in the meta is really beneficial to those who are already in the playoffs. However, with those that weren't in the playoffs quite yet, where a team like Chengdu was kind of on the bubble for the most part, they still had to practice, you know, the 2-2-2, the normal kind of Orisa Hog May nonsense, and they didn't get a really chance to go into scrims as much, I should say, to play Sigma and Orisa and Doomfist and whatnot. So, not saying that they didn't already know how to play those characters, because they obviously do, they're pros, but it is a noticeable difference between some teams that did get to practice a little bit longer, kind of like I think it was the coach of Atlanta mentioned that they were no longer practicing Orisa Hog, and they were solely practicing on the Sigma patch. And I don't think a lot of teams would announce that, but Atlanta's kind of a really loud, out-in-your-face kind of team.
Oh, that they are. And I love that about them.
Same. We always need a team like that.
Yeah. You know, there's two teams that didn't, in my opinion. So when I was watching this, my girlfriend and I were like, she's like, so what did you get out of that? I want to hear what your analysis is. And I was going over each of the matches. I was like, you know, so-and-so looked good. You know, this guy looked great on Doomfist. There were two teams that I really didn't get too much out of. And one of them won. And one of them was the Chengdu Hunters. But the other team that we're going to get to in a minute won. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, this is very reminiscent of what I think their season has been. We're going to get to them in a second. But yeah, Chengdu Hunters, I really didn't honestly pick too much out of them. I mean, I didn't think they looked horrible, but there wasn't any like standout moments where like Eileen just popping off on Doomfist or Hoppa on Sigma. So yeah, not very many. They didn't make too big of a splash, the Hunters.
And that happens, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, it, strange enough, as a team that we had been clamoring throughout the entire season that they're so fun to watch. They're such a goofy team. Not goofy, but like they're such a strange team where they do what they want, when they want, however they want. And then finally, when push comes to shove, they kind of conformed to the meta. And I think they kind of suffered for it.
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling with 2-2-2 coming that it would kind of mess with the Chengdu Hunters flow, just because the Chengdu Hunters basically found their success in playing the unorthodox comps. While everyone was playing goats, they were playing with Hammond in a pharmacy, and it was just like, what the hell is going on? And they were making it work. Now they're forced 2-2-2. It's a little bit of different of a ball game. They still have that talent there, obviously. They made it to the play-ins. But they didn't make as big of a splash as they did when the Goats meta was prominent before 2-2-2, where they could just kind of throw those curveballs at these teams and then, you know, dominate by using something that you're just like, what am I watching? That's what I loved about the Hunters.
Yeah, but I can't say much because they made the playoffs and the Uprising didn't, yeah. So...
In your case, that is unfortunately true. But next game, my team joins you. The Shanghai Dragons played the Philadelphia Fusion, and the Shanghai Dragons took that 4-2. Again, here's another case of a just disgusting Doomfist in Youngjin. Oh my gosh, man, that guy. I was just watching him just decimate the Philly Fusion.
You just feel so helpless. Even as a viewer, you're like, how do I...
You're like, what do I feel?
We have four stuns. How did we miss this?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just... That guy is insane. DM looked pretty good. I really feel like Youngjin looked better than DM. I know... I believe DDing played a map, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I feel like he was in. Yeah, I think he hopped in for... I don't know. I would say like map 5, but I don't think that's correct. I would have to double check.
It was mainly Youngjin and Diem, I feel.
Yes.
And they looked amazing with Youngjin just looking like playing out of his damn mind. Gamsu had this like really crazy recovery on Ilios that was pretty mind blowing too, where like he was falling off and he did his Hammond like stomp, and it like it jumped up, and it like he kind of did like the little backspin that he does before he plops down, and he plopped down like on the ledge and somehow like saved himself. That was like a 800 IQ play right there.
God, just things pros do, you know?
Yeah,
the things that you're like, oh, I do move a little bit forward, huh, when I pile drive.
Yeah,
I would have never thought about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Gamsu's also the man. The Philly Fusion side, you know, I really like the way that Poco is playing Sigma, and I'm really excited. Hopefully he'll still be with the Fusion next season, but to see him play in a, you know, some more matches as Sigma. I mean, this is the first time we saw him on Sigma. I know he's been playing it on stream a lot, but Poco looked really, 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 really good on Sigma, which makes me happy. I always liked the way that Poco looked on D.Va. His D.Va's always been very strong. Like, he has the Poco Bomb named after him. But it was really nice to see how well his how he played Sigma.
Yeah, for the most part, what I saw was a lot of the D.Va players, I feel, had a good idea of the verticality the Sigma shield can provide, right? Mm-hmm. So being able to shoot it up, block whatever, block fire bullets, what have you, just create sight lines for the DPS to get through. I think Poco did really well with his shield, and I think going forward with Sigma, it'll be super interesting to see even more crazy placements slash sight, choke points that you can create with the Sigma shield, or kind of open up space for the Sigma shield.
Mm-hmm.
Except the next game, something different happened, I believe, with the Sigma player.
Yeah, the next game was on Saturday, and that was the London Spitfire. They were basically waiting to see who they played. They end up playing the Shanghai Dragons, with the London Spitfire taking it 4-3. What a brawl. Yeah. Yeah, that was disgusting.
And what I was alluding to moments ago was that Fury played Orisa and Jester played Sigma. And that is pretty unique since most of the off tanks were relegated to Sigma duty. However, London decided, we're going to let our genius Winston player play Sigma. Mm-hmm. And it worked out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Standouts here, of course, Youngjin looking great again on the Doomfist. Prophet looked really good on what he played. Hanzo, he was on Widow for a little while. He looked really good. Birdring was looking pretty good as well. Honestly, I feel like, you know, other than the splash they made with the switch up of Sigma, they weren't really like too flashy. It was kind of like all like, I guess, as orthodox as it can be since it is kind of a new meta, but like they just kind of took control when they needed to take control. A lot of the times on that Ilios map in the end, they had to second round of Ilios. Shanghai Dragons were up 1-0, 99% on the point, and they brought it from 99 to 0, or from 0 to 99, and then end up winning the next one to take the series. So it was definitely a brawl. It was really interesting to watch. Very hyped, too.
Yeah, you just love it. You get free Overwatch. It's like whenever time you go to overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Or extra innings. You just get free sports, free game.
Yeah, there were
extra bang for your dollar there.
And there were two of these matches that I think were draws. this went to map 8.
It's insane.
Yeah, yeah. It went the distance and a half. The last game, and this is the team that I feel like, what after I was watching it, I was like, you know what? Like, they didn't really like shock me, but they got the job done. Was the Seoul Dynasty against the Charge, with the Seoul Dynasty winning 4-1. They looked good, but like there's nothing that like really like jumped out at me like Youngjin's Doomfist or Eileen popping off on the Hunters. It's just like, yeah, they killed it, but there wasn't anything like extremely flashy that I could just pinpoint. Like, they just all collectively looked good.
Yeah, I'm just happy Fled is back.
Yes, that was definitely nice to see. Michelle looked pretty good,
because Fled flexed a little bit on the McCree to show the hit scan prowess and to show people that, hey, McCree can be played into double shields. Nothing matters, right?
Mm-hmm. And it was really refreshing to see McCree back in the league. I know Carpe pulled it out, like, maybe once or twice last stage, but, like, it was very rare to see McCree in, it was very rare to see McCree being played.
Yeah.
It's nice to see someone new out there.
Exactly.
With his, like, borderline machine gun freaking six-shooter.
Oh, my God.
Things ridiculous.
Man, even in competitive ladder, it deep into low gold, high silver, you were just like, I feel like he shoots so fast, and my butt hitbox is gigantic. Why am I dying so fast?
Yeah.
And it's because he does shoot so fast, and it's because I'm playing Winston into awful, awful counters. But that's all right. That's for another story, another podcast.
No, thank you. Freaking McCree. But that was the play-ins. I liked the play-ins. I liked the fact that they have them. It kind of gives some teams that are on the fringe a chance to make it. Unfortunately for them, the guys that are on the fringe are the teams that definitely lost with the Charge and the Shanghai Dragons ultimately losing after they beat the Fusion and the Hunters, which were all, you know, these were all the bottom teams. This is what, 12 through 9, all losing.
It really shows that tier difference, right?
Yeah, it really does.
And we were talking about it all season again, where, you know, you have Vancouver, New York, San Fran, they're just in this whole another league of Overwatch, and stage 1 and stage 2. Then it kind of changed a bit in stage 3, and then stage 4 we had the 2-2-2 lock, and we saw the tiers kind of grow a little bit. A couple more teams fell in there, rather dropped down from the S tier. But even this tier 2 list with Seoul, London, they're just so much better than everyone else.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like you have the top 3 teams, and then you have like you have the teams that are like really, really, really good that can beat the mediocre teams, or the teams that are just like just on the cusp of being pretty good, but like can't touch the top 3. And that's teams like the Dynasty, the Spitfire, after 2-2-2 came out and like near the end of stage 2. The Gladiators are a team that are like that. The Atlanta Reign are kind of, in my opinion, a little up in the air, but like the Spark are another team like that. So it's like you have these teams that are like not the top 3, but like still within like the top 10 that can get any of those teams that are like on the cusp of the top 10 and just kind of slap them around.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah.
It's this league's so weird, but we love it. So
but do we love it so much?
Yeah, oh yeah. So what's going on next week? We have the actual playoff bracket starting.
We do. We have the winners bracket, the start of it. The actual top tier teams are playing now. We get to see an absolute, I guess, great game. I was gonna say hell of a game, but Seoul Dynasty. I'm not sure they're gonna upset the Vancouver Titans. But we get to start with the Vancouver Titans versus Seoul Dynasty, if I'm correct, I think. Hold on. I got to double-check the schedule. Is that on our notes?
yeah, it is, yeah. And okay. That is who starts.
Okay.
Yep.
And that game itself, I think it's going to kind of be a watch because Vancouver is just so good.
Yeah. I have a feeling Dynasty is going to hang in there. But I do have the Titans defeating the Seoul Dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen the Vancouver 2-2, or rather, double shield yet. So maybe they're just really bad, and maybe they're going to say, forget it, we're running goats, or Urza Hog, because we don't feel like playing Sigma or whatever. Mm-hmm. I doubt that's the case, but things happen, you know?
Yeah, I really feel like this meta, too, is at a point, and I was telling you the other day after I was enraged after some comp games that, and I feel like it's almost like this in ladder, it's if you don't play these characters, you lose. And it feels like if you don't match up, you're done. And that's how I kind of feel like it's always kind of been in Overwatch League. It's a little different in ladder, but it's like if a team is playing goats, like you played goats against them, unless you're Chengdu Hunters and somehow find a way to finagle that. But if you're not the Chengdu Hunters, if you don't play goats against goats, you lose. I feel like it's one of those things now. It's like, well, if you don't play double shield on maps that aren't like Ilios, or like Lijiang Tower, where people still seem to be running dive. Like if you don't run double shield and a doom fist, you're going to have a bad time. And I feel like teams are kind of forced to play this competition, yeah, whether they like it or not.
That's the unfortunate bit of about having so few characters in the game.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to mix and match, especially now with a 2-2-2 lock. But, you know, they're slowly adding more characters. It's unlucky that I'm pretty sure two out of the past 5 have drastically changed how the game has been played.
Yeah.
And it's mostly because they blended 2 roles together, mm-hmm, which is unfortunate, where, you know, the tank and support character in Brigitta needed to do something offensive, so she was really just a kind of all three. And then Sigma ends up being an off and main tank at the same time, and he just totally dictates how everything should be played again. So with time, I believe we'll have a little bit more of actual counterplay to some things, and not everyone has to be locked into this Sigma, Orisa, Doomfist, and then whatever supports you feel like, most likely Mora, because she can actually heal through shields. But, you know, time will tell. And hopefully, after this playoff, we'll get some good insights into how teams are going to adapt going forward.
Yeah. We'll get to see contenders over the summer. See how some things transform.
Exactly.
Yep.
All right. Enough ranting and raving about how much we hate Double Shield. we got more games to talk about. We have fun ones. This one's going to be a really fun one, I think, especially since Hong Zhao is really turning around. It's Hong Zhao versus the LA Gladiators.
Yeah. I got to go with LA on this one. I just don't have any faith in Hong Zhao. I don't know. Yeah, Ever since 2-2-2, they just haven't looked the same.
Like, Godspeed is very good. Yes. Don't get me wrong. Oh, yeah. They have really talented players. Gushue, super good. Can they put it together? Who knows? Are they going to be able to turn 2-2-2 around to be really this top-tier team that they once were again? Maybe. But I think the Glads got this one again. I think Glads are able to sneak out this win. I think it's going to be like a 4-2 game.
Yeah, I can definitely see that with the Gladiators taking it. The Gladiators have looked very strong. And I'm kind of happy about that. I like the Gladiators. I like their team. I like Surefour. I like Surefour a lot. I like their support core in Big Goose and Shaz. Like, I really enjoy watching them. They're fun to watch. I have a feeling that the Spark are going to kind of let us down just because, yeah, they just haven't been the same Spark. Because
things just happen, right?
Yeah.
The meta just was not kind to them. I think they needed a little bit more time. I think if they had the play-in games, rather, they would have more success in the quarterfinals to be able to have that extra game, the extra kind of throwaway game, if you will. Before they get to the real meat and potatoes. But they don't get that, sadly. So they got to come in cold.
Yeah.
But a team that's not coming in cold and came off quite the long one, it's the London Spitfire, and they're taking on the New York Excelsior.
Yeah, that's going to be a great match, too.
This is going to be an awesome game. No doubt in my mind. I kind of think they have a little bit of a rivalry, just because I think they're the two best teams in the East, or Atlantic Division. So they're always going to, you know, contending for that top spot. But I have the New York Excelsior, as much as it pains me to say so.
Yeah, they're not gonna lose yet. They're gonna lose. Sorry, New York Excelsior fans. They're gonna lose. They'll lose and go in a loser's bracket. So the NYXL fans can breathe easy if they do lose here, because they're not out yet. But I feel like they can beat this London Spitfire team. So I definitely have New York beating them. I'm so happy that players like Sabi Olby are back. It's kind of in my blood to hate New York just because I'm from Philadelphia, but you're saying this on the other podcast. Like, we're both from cities that hate New York teams. Now, if there was a Pittsburgh team, we'd probably definitely hate the Pittsburgh team more than we hate the New York team. But Philly team was always hating New York teams. But I do like taking an unbiased approach. I don't hate the NYXL for that reason. I do feel like the NYXL will not make the grand finals just because they've been predictable all season. And I feel like we've actually seen them choke before, especially in the Stage 1 playoffs to the Seoul Dynasty when they were upset. But I do see them beating the London Spitfire here.
Yeah, and it's truly unfortunate since no matter who the winner is, they're going to lose the next round.
Because
the winner of this one will have to face the winner of Shock and the Rain. And if you haven't seen any of Overwatch League, The San Francisco Shock are the best team in the league. You can write that one down. I think they're better than Vancouver. They are ranked third in the seeding for the season-long playoffs. Yeah. But don't let that fool you. They are absolutely dominant. And their depth, even at the bench level, is insane. And I think it's one of the toughest things for teams to overcome is the different range of heroes that the eight DPS players can play on the Shock.
No, definitely. I actually think that this is going to be a pretty good game. I don't think it's going to be like a 4-0 Shock, because I think the Atlanta Reign are a bit of the real deal. Real deal enough to beat the San Francisco Shock? I don't think so. But I have some faith that this is going to be a pretty decent game, and it's not going to be a blowout. With the Shock, yeah, they're ranked third. They had some losses scattered here or there. I know they had a few before they got their footing in the beginning of the season. But they, and I agree with you, they are the best team in the league right now. I don't think anybody can beat them. And I'm very excited to see Sinatra on the stage in Philly, because I definitely had the San Francisco Shock going to the finals. So I do have them beating the Atlanta Reign.
And that's truly not the end of it.
No.
Considering we have the loser's bracket still.
Yeah, it wasn't very... So I actually got the bracket that I have on our notes here from Liquipedia, just because it kind of helps define some things a little bit more than what the schedule looks like, because the schedule is just like, yep, here's all the games, and then here is a bunch of tracer placeholder icons and kind of no description as to like what these games actually are.
Perfect. That's just what I wanted.
Yeah, so I'm assuming like the I'm not really sure how these are going to be placed, so it's probably going to be something like the teams that lose the first matches. One of them will probably be on the top, the first game of the loser's bracket, and one of them will probably be on the second game of the loser's bracket. And then they will probably be placed on there depending on their rank accordingly.
Yeah, and so, if not, yeah. They'll probably keep the same seating. So, mm-hmm. Poor Ejemplo, if the Dynasty lose, they would probably play the Gladiators, so It may end up being just like the top half of the bracket versus the lower half of the bracket, where it'd be Spitfire Reign versus, or rather, Reign Spitfire and Dynasty Glads, or Spark.
Or Spark, yeah.
And that kind of makes sense to me. But mm-hmm. Who knows?
Who do you have surviving through the first matches of the losers bracket matches?
I have. I gotta double check, so I don't know if you remember from last week. I don't think we actually talked about our real brackets from last week. So I had the Charge winning against Dynasty, and then I had the Charge beating the Titans.
Wow.
So
your bracket's busted.
My bracket is already, well, it's not totally busted, but it's like pretty busted.
It's pretty March Madness busted.
Yeah, exactly. My it's like my random 10th overall team didn't beat the 8th team or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, I'm going to say, so I would have the Dynasty versus Spark here, mm-hmm. since I have the Gladiators winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Dynasty would end up beating the Spark. Mm-hmm. I think they would survive the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the Reign beating the Spitfire.
Gotcha. Yeah, I actually have the same two teams. Regardless of who they play, I feel like the Atlanta Reign and the Seoul Dynasty are going to make it out alive. So there are two matches of the loser's bracket that will be played. Also, there's the two games of the winner's bracket, too, after the first round that'll be played.
Yes. So we got the... It's so weird because the semifinal match... Even if you lose the semifinal match, you still go down the loser's bracket.
Yeah.
So, in this scenario, I had the Charge beating the Gladiators.
Gotcha.
So, it would be Dynasty Gladiators in our real scenario here.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably pick the Gladiators, forcing Dynasty into that loser's bracket round two to face the Spark. And
you
then,
had the Dynasty beating the Vancouver Titans?
No, I had So I had the Titans playing the Spark.
Okay.
Losers bracket round one.
Okay.
Obviously Titans are going to win that one.
Gotcha.
And I'll share this with Maradona so you can post it.
Yeah.
It's pretty wonky. It's also on my Twitter. you can go find it under like my media tab. It's pretty dumb, but hey, gotcha. you take shots, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have hot takes once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So my losers round two bracket was Glads versus Titans, and
gotcha.
Obviously I have the Titans winning that one too.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I have the Glads winning through the semifinals,
mm-hmm.
forcing the Dynasty down. And then I have, obviously, the Rain winning, so they'll move on to round two.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have the Shock beating the New York Excelsior in the semifinals, forcing the New York Excelsior down to face the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have the Rain beating New York as well.
Ooh. So I don't actually have mine, like, completely filled out. So going into next week's game, the Vancouver Titans are who I am picking, the Vancouver Titans versus the Glads. I have the Vancouver Titans over the Gladiators. I have the San Francisco Shock over the NYXL. So if I had to right now pick a team that would go up against the San Francisco Shock, because I have picked a winner of the 2019 Overwatch League, and in my opinion it's going to be the San Francisco Shock. We will definitely be seeing the San Francisco Shock in Philly. If I don't, I would be pretty surprised. If I had to pick a team right now that I could see playing the Shock, I kind of have this gut feeling it's going to be the Seoul Dynasty.
Really?
Yeah.
I love it.
The reason, because they're just like this silent killer. Like I was just saying, with the Dynasty Charge game, like there was nothing that like blew my mind. But yet they come and they just whoop up on a Guangzhou Charge team that has been on fire. 4-1 the Hunters. Now the Hunters, yeah, they were the lowest seeded team in the play-ins. But that doesn't really mean that they're not bad. They're obviously a good team. They made the play-ins. They looked pretty damn good throughout this whole season. And the Guangzhou Charge have been on fire lately and just took it to them 4-1. And then Seoul Dynasty comes out of nowhere, doesn't even make a splash and beats them 4-1. So I have like a feeling like the Dynasty is kind of like, in my opinion, the silent killer. And maybe this isn't, maybe this is just me like not being that connected to the Seoul Dynasty, but I don't know. Like I just have a gut feeling and I hope I'm right. I know it won't be the NYXL. I feel like the Rain are beatable. They're definitely beatable. So I don't feel like the Rain would be there, but let me tell you, I'd love to see the Atlanta Rain. That'd be so awesome.
Yeah, I have the Rain facing off
against
the San Francisco Shock in the final. And mostly I just want to see, like, Dogman just yell at people on stage.
I freaking love that guy.
So I think it would be great. I think his trash talk would be just almost like Marshawn Lynch level. Like,
oh, my God.
Like, interview, just hey, I'm here so I don't get fined, kind of level, just like like literally not giving a single care in the world about what he says or his repercussions. Because the league kind of needs that, so I want to see him in the finals, and I think it'd be really funny. And then Violet just puts him in the dirt, or whoever plays support that day.
Yeah, definitely.
Anywho, so that's our bracket. It was a little confusing in the middle, but we got there as a team.
Yep.
And so there's a little bit of news, like a little bit of breaking news.
Yeah, about your boys.
About the BU boys.
The BU boys.
Do you want to break it or should I break it?
You're your boys. You got to break it.
It's all me.
Yeah.
The Boston Uprising have hired a new head coach.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna attempt the name, the full name here.
Yeah, you may have heard of him before, too.
Vitas Mineral Lasitis.
What
I may
name.
Have said that wrong, but we'll find out soon enough. But head coach Mineral. Who was the former head coach of the, or I guess one of the many coaches of the Florida Mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
And Huck himself said he's super excited about working with him. Mm-hmm. They've had various discussions, and they feel like they click. They kind of get each other, and Mineral will bring the team in a direction that Huck thinks he wants to bring the team to. And if you're wondering, hey, how do you have so much insider info? Let me tell you, listener, it's because Huck did a Q&A today. The Boston Uprising general manager had a question and answer on Twitch today, just live. It was incredible. He talked a lot about why they didn't play certain players, why some people thought maybe the Uprising team last season like didn't have a house. I don't know. he touched on a bunch of rumors, but the main exciting part was he announced the new head coach, that the Uprising really kind of struggled to have a main head coach. This is kind of the insider info that a lot of people might not know if you don't follow the Uprising as closely. So the Uprising had two coaches for the most part. They had Shake and Gumba. Mm-hmm. Gumba, who's going to be the coach for the Australian Overwatch team. And while I believe Shake was anointed the... and named, I don't know why I said anointed.
His I name, liked how like, you the quote made yourself chuckle.
This is a very professional podcast. Anywho, Shake was the quote-unquote head coach for kind of a little bit. But Gumbo was more of like the lifeblood of the coaching staff and kind of the rah-rah coach. Mm-hmm. So he may have not had the title. He was kind of the de facto head coach. Mm-hmm. But now Boston will have a pretty well-known coach in the clubhouse ready to bring the team in a new direction. And I think this is a great ad. He was a part of the season one Florida Mayhem. I think this coach has a lot to offer still.
Yeah, he wasn't really given much. They were Misfits. Mineral played and coached Misfits. And that was the team down there, with Logix and Tevik and Manitin, Zupa, you know. And they started off last season with six players, no subs. And the Misfits, while they were a pretty damn good team, really like couldn't compare to a lot of the world's best Overwatch players. They went back and forth a lot with Envious, always looked, you know, fairly decent. But we're kind of like in a spot where they had a lot of really great talents, but not good enough to compete against teams with similar talents that have been playing together for longer periods of time, or just even the caliber of players in the Overwatch League. So I feel like he hasn't like fully had his time to shine, just because the Overwatch League is a different animal than the way the tournaments were ran before Overwatch League. So this will be kind of like a big test here to see how he does, because I know the Boston Uprising didn't do too well this year, but they have a lot of really good talent on that team. So I feel like now is his time to kind of prove himself.
Yeah, and we'll all be watching with great expectations in mind with a new coach and with this hopefully the same roster. We'll never know, because Boston loves to just find new talent and try them out on the big stage. Throw them right in the fire.
But which is not always a bad thing.
No, not always, because you see some people really succeed. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And now, all right. A little bit of overthoughts. Bring it home.
Some overthoughts. Quick note here. 222 was released on Quick Play today. So, if you're like me and you are done playing Shield meta and comp, check out Quick Play 222. I also believe the new competitive season was released today. Can you confirm that?
I can confirm that. I did some of my placements and I hated it.
Okay. Let me tell you, the state of the game right now, like, I'm like Quick Play or bust. I just really don't enjoy this meta. I do like how Moira's in the meta, which is great. True. She's my favorite support character, but man, I played the other day as a tank and I have wanted to pull my hair out playing Overwatch like that in a long time.
It's strange because I have stopped trying to be meta. Quite frankly, I don't have enough hours on Sigma to run him into comp. Yeah. And then I don't think I'm good with Orisa if I don't have a duo queue partner. Like, mm-hmm. I know me and you have tried Orisa Hog a little bit and we were kind of popping. Mm-hmm. Except I think we were just outclassed everywhere else during that game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just kind of still playing Winston. I don't really care. I'm just playing Winston Zarya.
Yeah.
And normally that still gets there in low ELO, because sometimes the meta doesn't always dictate what people play in silver or gold.
Mm-hmm.
But when people just straight up don't listen to you, that's when I want to really pull out my hair. I'm like, hey, guys, let's go right side. Especially on Paris. This was a little, is a little anecdotal evidence today. Just shouting as Sigma, hey, guys, right, we're going right, we're going right. Don't run down main. Don't run down main. Instantly picked by a Sigma rock.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, guys, let's res it, res it, res it. Because our Genji, we had Nano Blade ready to go. So we're like, all right, we're going to res the Genji. Let me shield up. Mm-hmm. Nope. Now is when everyone wants to go right, and they yeet themselves into a Bastion. And you're like, oh, my God.
I was really keeping my fingers crossed. Judging from that story, it probably hasn't really changed. But I had a feeling, and I've heard this from multiple people, that because 222 is not in quick play, a lot of people were just jumping in comp to play 222 just to get the Rolock that don't typically play or don't give a damn about playing competitive.
Oh, interesting.
It's kind of like, I understand that. It's kind of hard to like judge that in the lower elos, just because like people just suck. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not trying to be rude. There's people that do a lot of that make a lot of mistakes and kind of don't care to become better, and in a competitive mindset, like in a competitive mode, that sucks, because like if you're playing competitive, a lot of people play competitive to get better and to raise their elo. If you're not kind of willing to take a step back, maybe watch some replays, watch some videos from some pros, if you're not willing to make yourself better, you're not going to learn.
Yeah, and that's like a real life lesson too, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. That doesn't just apply to Overwatch. Like, you can be making a mistake after mistake after mistake. If you don't know any better, then how do you know? And I feel like you do get a lot of that with a lot of people that just play casually, and that's okay. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be playing just quick play because I really don't like this meta. It just infuriates me. And even though I'm just some stupid freaking gold player, like, it still infuriates me when I lose SR over dumb stuff.
Oh, my God.
I'm just too competitive. That's my problem.
I just want people to listen. If I have 30 seconds to go on a soapbox, mm-hmm. when you don't listen, like, it's one thing to not have mic. That's fine, because I play with my mic unplugged sometimes because I have to move around. Mm-hmm. I still want to record the podcast, so I got to unplug the mic from my desktop and go mm-hmm. somewhere else. Or whatever. It just happens sometimes where I just don't feel like talking because I'm either hungover or I'm just fed up with people. mm-hmm. I still listen, and then I'll ping stuff, right? So someone's like, hey, Zarya, tell me when you're going to grab. And I just start slamming Z to let them know, like, I'm about to it now, so just get ready. Mm-hmm. But when people don't have their headphones in,
yeah,
that one is when I really just want to turn off the game and just play, like auto chess or something, because it's maddening when people don't want to work together on a team that, like, on a game that actually needs teamwork.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, League of Legends or, like, Dota or, I don't know, even CSGO sometimes, right? You don't need a team, per se, mm-hmm. right? You can just grab your AWP and just go and just get a 6K and just end the round, right?
Yeah. You can carry in those games.
Yeah. Like, Overwatch, you can't, it's harder to carry, not impossible, it's much harder to carry, especially on a role like tank or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my little thing. Just listen. Please listen to your main tank,
or even at least jump in audio.
Yeah, just jump in, right? Like, you don't need to be like, oh, if you don't have a mic, we're losing or something. Just be like, hey, I'm gonna shot call regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't listen, hey, you're still getting over, like, whatever. Like, if you have an issue talking in chat, like, at least you're practicing that, right? I don't know. Just like, listen to people.
And hopefully with the 222 quick play, that will take a lot of those people out of comp that don't want to take it seriously, that were just kind of using comp to
mess around.
Thankfully, also, it was a beta season, and also what happened was the season 18 actually came out on Friday or Saturday.
It was Saturday.
And something went on with the ELO, and this actually happened to one of my friends, where she was playing against Masters players and she's like high silver. And it was and there was an actual, like, legitimate, like, they actually took the competitive season back, like, they reverted down back to the beta season. They're like,
yeah,
okay, we done goofed up, let's fix this. Apparently, it has to have been fixed because they released it today, and I haven't heard anything. But
yeah. The San Francisco off tank, who I'm pretty sure was nominated for MVP, mm-hmm. Troy Aubin, was he nominated?
I feel like Troy Aubin was.
Yeah, he was placed 2300, so something was wrong with the SR.
A little bit. my other news today, and this has been rumored for a little bit since a Nintendo Switch case has surfaced that was like an Overwatch-themed case, and I'm just like, I guess I could see it coming to the Switch, but like a case really isn't enough to sell me. I have a wallet that has Overwatch. It doesn't mean Overwatch is coming to my wallet. Like, yes, there's a themed thing for something that, you know, might not have anything to do with Overwatch. But at today's Nintendo Direct, on top of the fact that we get Terry from Final Fight in Super Smash Bros., which I'm really excited for, we also got the announcement that Overwatch will be coming to the Nintendo Switch on October 15th. So if we have some Switch users out there, which I am myself, I probably won't be picking this up. But if we have people that are exclusive to the Switch, I know my buddy Alex from work is, and he might actually give this a shot. But it comes out October 15th for Switch.
Oh, I'm all in. I can't wait to run into comp with Joy-Cons. Ugh. It's not get the Pro Controller. Should be great.
Yeah, Pro Controller actually might be pretty nice for it. I like the button layout. But with the announcement for Overwatch on the Switch, that is actually going to do it for today's episode. I'm looking right now at, you know, 50 minutes ish.
We've done it.
We got under an hour. That's like a first for us since we started, and that's not a really a bad or a good thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah, let's pat ourselves on the back there.
Yeah,
for like another
yeah.
5 minutes.
For another 5 minutes just to get to that hour point.
You gotta milk it.
Oh my gosh, but so where can our listeners find you on the interwebs?
Oh, you can find me on the best place on earth. It's called Twitter.
Ooh.
It's at esportsbrock. I tweet a lot of dumb stuff, but a lot of good stuff too. So make sure you weed through all the dumb stuff and find some good Overwatch analysis. And then I currently also write for The Game House. I am the beat writer for the Boston Uprising via The Game House. And I will be posting a write-up for the Huck Q&A soon. If you're listening on Thursday or whenever this comes out, it should be up already. It should be up by the time you actually hear this podcast. So take a look there. It's great. And obviously with Maradon, we run the lovely website, Level 1 Esports. You can find it at level1esports.com and on Twitter at level1 Esports blog on Twitter.
It's LVL.
LVL 1 blog
yep.
on Twitter.
Yeah, definitely follow us. I have been slacking on posting about looking for writers, but we are looking for writers, and I am going to get back on that train. I've just had an insanely busy life.
The past 2 weeks, man.
And I started school up, and it's just been a mess. You can find me at The McGaming on Twitter, twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. Since it's been such a mess and a busy few weeks here, I haven't been streaming, but I am looking to get back into it. That's twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. For The Overnerds, you can find us at The Overnerds on Twitter, facebook.com/TheOvernerds. You can also send us an email at theovernerds@gmail.com and the_overnerds on Instagram. I'm also going to post our Discord in the description. Definitely throw that there. And we are also very proud to be part of the Geekscape Network as well. Geekscape.net. Check out your next nerdy podcast today. The Xbox Game Passenger podcast is pretty awesome. You know, I don't at the end of all of our podcasts, we do run like a little advert for the different podcasts. I don't have one for Xbox Game Passenger, and that's something I'm going to bring up to the folks over at Geekscape. You'll probably hear maybe Analog Jones after this, which is another awesome podcast where they talk about running movies back in the day. So you can find a whole plethora of different subjects and podcasts over there. Geekscape.net. Check it out. Also, our freaking awesome intro by Max Brown. Always got to plug Max Brown. Max Brown is on SoundCloud. His SoundCloud tag is in the description. Definitely give him a shout. Check out his stuff. We as in me and Toxic found him. I believe it was on Reddit. I can't remember, but you can definitely probably shoot him a DM on SoundCloud. He does some work for hire, so can get you guys a nice tune for your YouTube video or maybe your podcast that you're starting up. All right. Well, I'm really excited to see how these brackets pan out. I'm excited to see who gets voted off of the Overwatch League playoff island this coming week. And it should be an interesting one. Super excited.
I'm so excited. I love me some playoff season.
Definitely, definitely. All right, that's going to do it, guys. Take it easy.
Thank you.
The smell of the video store. I love this place.
Do you remember when you could just look at the walls of covers?
We had to choose just by looking at the cover and reading the crappy synopsis.
You were leaving with one.
And the only way to know what new movies were coming out is you actually had to watch the trailers instead of skipping them.
Right, we didn't have the internet to look it up. We had one guy named Todd behind the counter that would tell us what was good or not.
And Todd strangely liked way too many romantic comedies.
Yes, but you always knew when the boobies were coming because Todd made sure.
Oh, and remember all the awful CG we had to put up with in the mid-90s?
We talk about that a lot, don't we?
Join us on Analog Jones and the Temple of Film, where we talk about VHS tapes.
And we wax nostalgia like none other.